Good morning and welcome to another at home episode with Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir, joining Lubna in this COVID
2020. In the at home studio, yeah.
Yes, COVID 2020 vibes, which I love for now.
Which we were just talking about that. It feels so refreshing to be not back in the pandemic. That's very politically incorrect to say. but no, it's so refreshing to, you know, after the hustle and bustle during Ramadan, before Ramadan, after the pandemic, everything kind of went, you know, full throttle. So yeah, despite all the damage and the very sad damages that happened to, you know, the house of one of our producers, Ali, got damaged as well. So sorry, Ali, but it's giving COVID vibes and we're chilling. Two introverts are happy right now that we're working from home because of the weather.
100%. I mean, it is great.
It's great. Not so great for people whose cars have been damaged by the rain, but that's the first story we're going to talk about today. A Dubai lawyer has offered his advice on what you can do if your car has been damaged by the rain, what to do with your insurance. And then the Google employees who staged a sit-down at Google's offices have been arrested and then subsequently fired by Google. That's pretty awful. Pretty awful publicity for Google lately. First with the $1 million consultancy deal with the Israeli military, and now this, it's not a good look for them. And then next, three Gulf markets have tumbled. They're not doing very well, obviously due to the geopolitical situation, but also hopes of, interest rate cuts have dwindled. However, Egypt's 70 plus index is up 5 days in a row. That's big for Egypt. Companies moving their HQ to Saudi may now have to pay zakat or tax in Islamic law. So that's interesting. And then Starbucks is in the headlines again, this time with its Kuwaiti franchisee Al Shaya. They've donated $3 million to Gaza in hopes of repairing their image, but people are not buying it. And then Dubai's $10 million home sales have surpassed those of New York and London. That's huge. That's huge and very exciting for Dubai. But back to the weather updates. We're going to give you guys, you know, there's a lot has been going on. By the way, Farah, has your house been damaged in any way? Any car damage? Anything going on?
I mean, thank God I live in an apartment, so no damage has been done. I mean, my balcony was flooded, but so far there was not really much damage. We almost have had our car, or actually my car specifically, damaged. So thank God, you know, my dad was the one driving it, which just like, because he was—
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, literally, because like, no, it was, the water
you
was—
You just
so
threw your dad under the bus, Farah.
I mean, he is gonna be like, he's gonna, if he was here, he would give me the look like, seriously, Farah, I was driving your car because you couldn't drive your car. Because I wanted to go somewhere. He's like, Farah, no. I'm like, I want to go with my car. He's like, Farah, again, no, because it was like, you know, really flooded. So he just couldn't see the curb because of the water. And I think I'm just like glad that he was driving the car. I haven't told him that. Just so he cannot be like, I told you so. I hate the word, I told you so.
Yeah. Same. Especially when we know that they're right, right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I hate it when my dad does that as well. Anyways, so Emirates finally, Emirates have lifted the check-in suspension for Dubai departures. Passengers departing Dubai can now check in for their flights. However, the airport, so yesterday the airport, was suspending all flights. Emirates and Fly Dubai issued statements saying everything has been, everything came to a halt. We saw that video that went viral, crazy scenes from, the UAE and the GCC as well, but specifically Dubai Airport, you know, that scene of the Fly Dubai airplane on the runway, the flooded runway, it was very kind of apocalyptic. But right now, things are clearing up. Dubai has always been amazing in, making fast moves to ensure Everything goes smoothly. So right now, Dubai airports have also issued, check them out on Twitter. We're also going to put it up on Smashy Business. It's already on Love in Dubai as well. All answering all the FAQs, questions for people. They are still urging people to make their way to the airport only if they have a confirmed flight booking, as the airport remains congested. And we're still seeing people as of this morning camping out, sleeping on the floor of Dubai airport. And I said something, I said, this looks, Dubai airport looks like London's Heathrow on a regular day, because that's what Heathrow looks like on a regular day.
That is actually true. You know, now, funny thing is, we talked, I said this on the Love in Dubai show, is that I have had my sister and my cousin victims of the flood, as because my cousin wanted to get back to London. She lives in London, and my sister is cabin crew. She had a turnaround.
Emirates cabin crew?
Yes, she is. And she had a turnaround to Pakistan. However, because of the rain and the situation that has been happening in Dubai, they have given it to her as a layover at the very last minute. Mm-hmm. Because they know it's cheaper to stay there than to come back then. So we don't know till now when is she coming back, but we know that she's in Pakistan. And even my cousin, she lives in London, as I said earlier. She had to leave the airport, I believe before yesterday, but her flight got canceled, and it was way more priority for people who were in transit to actually go and travel.
Right.
So confirm that.
Yeah, that is what we have been seeing. You know what? Yesterday, my family and I were watching a video on YouTube about all the scenes in Dubai and the floods. And, you know, it's been covered by Bloomberg. It's been covered by, I think The Guardian covered it as well. Anyway, and all those Western media were being so negative about it and blaming cloud seeding. And the UAE has, you know, come out and said it. It's not the cloud seeding. Cloud seeding doesn't create a storm across the Gulf. So this wasn't just the UAE. We're talking about the UAE a lot because we are based here. We have all those videos here. It has been affected the most. However, this has been Gulf wide. So yeah, it's not Gulf. It's not just the UAE, and it's not just cloud seeding. And I just hated how they love to hate on Dubai so much. It's incredible. Anyways, what to do with insurance? Farah, maybe this is for you or for your dad to take care of, since he was the one driving the car.
Well, of course, you know, we've talked about it as well today morning, is the fact that it is always better to have your insurance done for your car in case of such situations that have been happening. So if, let's say, like your car got damaged due to the storm and the rain, it is always best to visit the Dubai Police or even the Dubai Police app, provide details about your damaged vehicle, and as well, you know, attach pictures, you know, if there is a fee that you need to pay the fee, you know, get the certificate, and then you should inform your insurance broker, because like it is very important at this point, you know. And I feel like at this point the only, I would say, organization who's benefiting from this storm is if you've seen the wild range that has been very, I would say, all over social media, Alfred Insurance.
Yeah, Alfred. Well, people were making a joke that they were calling Alfred, and Alfred has suddenly disappeared after being in our faces the entire time. Where is he when you need him the most? It's interesting though. It's interesting though, because this Dubai lawyer, Amin, I'm not sure if his last name I'm pronouncing correctly, Rad or Rad, I'm not sure. Anyways, he's a lawyer in the UAE. He's giving residents an advice on how to deal with their car insurance. So basically, you need to check the clauses. You need to check if there is an act of God clause, natural damages clause, and also make sure, you know, even if you don't have it right now in your insurance, it's worth noting to check this in the future. if the insurance says that it will cover car damages from flooding, you should check if if it will cover it if your car is parked or has driven into the flooding. So I mean that's basically the most important information. So do check that, guys. Also, the UAE has just announced it will be helping families who were affected by damages. There isn't that much info yet. I'm sure we're gonna have more information. We're also looking into how developers are going to help with damages done to homes, because we've seen a lot of, we mentioned yesterday Azizi. There are some Amar developments as well that have been, damaged. A lot of kind of villas, communities. So yeah, we're gonna have more information about that coming up. Next, no damage to your home, Farah, you said yes.
Thank God.
Whereabouts do you live? Which area do you live in?
I live in like Garhoud, and it's like between Garhoud and Creek, and like it's very tricky because like when you're like next to Creek, it was like flooded. My area is closed; it has shut down, and even the roads are empty, but it's just because they're only empty because no one's allowed to actually leave the area. Of course, and it's just kind of like funny. Thank God nothing has happened to my house because I live in an apartment.
Yeah.
But when it rained, my balcony was like flooded.
Flooded. Okay, right. Yeah, I mean it's kind of crazy, isn't it? How nothing happened to get hood, but but when it comes to, downtown and DIFC, and we saw those scenes. There was a viral video going around about Caviar Caspia and DIFC, the fine dining restaurant, slash nightclub. The roof was falling apart. The bartender was kind of trying to get all the alcohol bottles,
Oh my God.
he saved the alcohol no matter
Yeah.
what. Tragic, tragic scenes. However, apparently LPM was totally fine yesterday. A friend of mine went there and it was, yeah, totally, totally fine. So,
Then how, what about you? Did anything happen to your house?
Luckily, nothing happened to my house. So, because we used to get a lot of damage from the rain before in my community, so I live in the green community in DIP, and they've done something really smart whereby they put these, high kind of blocks of, I don't know exactly what it is, like bags filled with sand, or I don't know what it is, but they block out the water from. I wouldn't say starting from the entrance because the entire entrance is still flooded, but just where the villas start, they block it out so that the water doesn't enter the community or there's minimal damage to the villas. But then all around us is completely and utterly flooded. But I have to give it to them, Dubai. I think it's, I'm not gonna name the developer because I have forgotten the name of the developer of Green Community. Yeah. But then again, we're online, so I can just Google it. But I'll Google it a bit later on. Let's move on to the news because we are running a bit kind of behind on schedule. Google has arrested the twin has sorry, Google has fired the 28 employees that were protesting the $1.2 billion Israeli contract that Google has. They were also involved in the protests against Project Nimbus, that is the joint contract with Amazon to provide the Israeli government with AI and cloud services. We saw the news yesterday that they were arrested for this. They basically staged a sit-in in the CEO's office. It was an 8-hour sit-in in Thomas Kurian's California office where they demanded the company cut its ties with Israel. They broadcasted their pro-Palestine protests on a Twitch live stream, which ultimately also captured their arrest, which is absolutely brilliant. If you want to do this, you want to do it documented, not just on a phone, but a live stream. That is absolutely, we've got a video of it on our Smashy Business Instagram. Do check it out. It's called the No Tech for Apartheid video. Depicts a man informing the employees that they have been placed on administrative leave before he asked them to leave voluntarily. So yeah. Everything was captured. It's absolutely brilliant of those people to do, to stand up to Google. More people are doing that. The Mina Bytes co-founder as well mentioned it on LinkedIn today. You know, he said some employees are pitching for Google Pakistan, and he was calling for the boycott of that. Thoughts, Farah?
I mean, honestly, at this point, as a Gen Z myself, I'm just like so proud of how everyone has been using our tools, such as, you know, streaming, taking videos, taking footage to their benefit, and specifically like right now in line with what's happening in
Also purchasing power. You know, no, we won't buy Starbucks. No, you know, McDonald's is now buying back its Israeli franchise, franchises in Israel, in occupied Palestine, I should say. So that's a big move. That's a big move.
That is. That I must say, honestly, I'm just like super proud. And this is honestly like the way, because I think at this point with what's happening in Palestine, people are just like done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Three Gulf markets have tumbled as hopes of interest rate cuts fade. But Egypt's 70 plus index is up 5 days in a row. So Gulf stock markets experienced a significant decline on Tuesday after hopes for an imminent interest rate cut by the U.S. Federal Reserve diminished following stronger than expected U.S. retail sales data, but also obviously because of the geopolitical situation, Palestine, you know, Israel, Iran. Let's not get into politics because, yeah, I always get in trouble when I go there. So let's not go there. Let's not go there.
Politics is very... It's a very interesting topic. I love politics. Politics is a very close person to my close, I would say, topic to my heart. But yeah. Again, you know, like speaking about it can really get you like, you know, kind of like it's a very tricky situation of like how you say what you want to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Freedom of speech is best best when it's kind of limited, I guess.
That's true.
At least, yeah. Yeah, actually all around the world, really. There's no such thing as freedom of speech without limits, honestly. And you know, it's not just in the UAE, it's everywhere. I would actually say we have more freedom of speech here in the UAE than people do in the Western world, you know? People are getting fired for protesting a genocide in Google. So, you know, the West is in no place to give us you know, any lessons on democracy or freedom of speech. Right, so back to our topic about the markets. The Saudi Arabian market index suffered its worst daily loss in several months. Aramco's share price fell below 30 Saudi riyals for the first time in over a year. Leading Saudi banks, Al Ahli, for example, also saw share prices decline. So yeah, we had similar losses in Kuwait and the UAE. Let's move on to Egypt. The EGX 70 index, which tracks companies with stocks older than 70 years old, defied the overall market sentiment and recorded its fifth consecutive daily gain, fueled by strong domestic investor buying. We're seeing Egypt make great strides. It's looking pretty promising for Egypt, and I think it's a very promising economy in general, isn't it, Egypt?
Yeah, it is, honestly. We have seen it as well, you know, like improve. And regarding like the Gulf, I think as well, if you said like it is all like related to an agenda, I believe, and specifically I think the agenda is more like political rather than just like, you know, like, oh yeah, this is happening, you know, like there's a political agenda behind it. But because like I would say Egypt has always been it's like, you know, where Egypt has been standing, and it's been standing in that way for like so long. So that's what I would say, like maybe Egypt would improve, and maybe the Gulf maybe has deteriorated in a way.
Yeah, I mean, the Gulf has really been investing a lot in Egypt, you know, from Qatar, you know, buying hotels there, Amman, developing, you know, huge complexes, you know, indoor-outdoor malls. We saw it do that in Istanbul, you know, in many parts of the Arab world. It's incredible, really. It's just incredible. Right, moving on to Saudi Arabia. According to new guidelines, some companies moving their HQ, their headquarters, to the kingdom, will now have to pay Islamic tax or zakat, based on the amount of stock held by domestic or GCC individuals, subject to the 2.5% zakat at the end of the financial year. So that's interesting. The regulations also specified that the 30-year period without income tax solely pertains to licensed activities conducted by foreign companies seeking relocation. All business activities that generate revenue for the RHQ within the kingdom will be subject to taxation. Interesting this move by Saudi, because first, you know, they implemented this rule that all companies should be moving their HQs to Saudi. We saw, you know, Tabby, God bless Tabby, giving us the free to buy those dresses we can't afford based on monthly payments. You know, love it, love it.
Here with you.
We have the founder of Sam on Smashing. We need to, I don't know, we need to just praise him for coming up with that brilliant idea. Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I always think, like, how do these people come up with these ideas? Like, even the lovely guy behind Brands for Less, you know, thinking about us women. You know what I mean? Loving
it's honestly amazing. It's amazing and just like very convenient, just allowing everyone to, you know, get what you want, no matter what your salary is, whether you can afford it or not. Go ahead, get it.
Yeah. And are they taking advantage of our shopping addictions? Perhaps. But do we love it? Yes, we do. So, yes.
100%. I mean, it's doing us well. So,
exactly. Not so well for my bank account, but it's fine. So yeah, that's the news for Saudi. I think this was just inevitable in terms of taxation. So yeah, that was the next move, the next move that made sense for them. Moving on to Starbucks and its Kuwaiti franchisee, Alshaya. So they've come under fire again. Alshaya Group obviously has been the long time Middle Eastern franchisee for Starbucks. It has expressed deep sadness, you know, for the genocide in Gaza. It has, together with Starbucks, donated $3 million in hopes to, they haven't said that, but it seems to be in hopes of repairing their image, stopping the boycotts, because the boycotts have led to a lot of losses for Starbucks. They admitted that. But people are not buying it. Simply not buying it. Would you buy this? I mean, I'm not even going to go through what they said, because there's nothing that comes, you know, there's nothing that really sticks out in this statement for me. Alshaya Group, by the way, also has H&M, Mothercare, American Eagle, Bath and Body Works, Outfitters, American Eagle Outfitters, sorry, and a lot of other, you know, it's one of the biggest groups here in the Gulf.
Yeah, you know, Lubna, like, I think honestly at this point Starbucks is just like trying to do some damage control, because they've taken the situation, the boycott, so lightly. They haven't really expected that it would actually reach to that point, and they ignored it for, I would say, like a couple of months, but then as their sales revenue and a lot of things got affected, they're like, oh, okay, now we need to do something about it. So, and the thing is, like, you know, like, people are very, I would say, woke with what's actually happening. Like, fine, like, even if that's the case, we're still not going to buy Starbucks, because, like, they are aware that it is going to get back to the one stores, which is, of course, going to be giving it to Israel. So,
yeah. I mean, would you buy Starbucks? Would you believe the statement?
No, I mean, I learned how to do my own iced coffee, so I don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, but that Starbucks have been getting a lot of, I would say, backlash over the past few months regarding a lot of things. Like, fine, you know, like, their coffee is coffee that you can make at home, and you can even make it in an even better way. So why? I would
burned
wait,
coffee, isn't it? It's burned coffee.
Literally, it's like water, to be honest, at this point. You know what I mean? It's not like that much of like a big deal. I mean, plus like you are drinking coffee. You'd rather drink coffee that does not taste like genocide. So
Yeah, exactly. Love that. Love it.
yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. So yeah, kudos to Gen Z. Also, they've really stuck to their guns this time with the boycotts, and the boycotts are working. So yeah, this is not a call to action. But take it as you will. So Dubai's $10 million home sales have surpassed those of New York and London as the city attracts overseas demand. That's absolutely brilliant for Dubai. And why not? I mean, I've been to London recently and it's just so morbid. You know, it's depressing, it's morbid, people are not in a great mood. You know, understandably, given their government is not making it any easier for them. Never been to New York, not that interested really with the state of the United States right now, not so united. Anyways, overseas demand for a high-end, I know what's gonna happen after this episode. Richard's brother William is gonna tell him to tell me to tone it down about the anti-Western sentiments. It's not anti-Western though, William. It is what it is. Isn't it?
That's true.
Overseas demand for high-end residences in Dubai, particularly for those homes valued at $10 million and higher. Let's pray together for a moment, Farah, that one day you and I will be able to afford a $10 million home. Let's take a moment, shall we?
I have been manifesting this for so long, actually for so long. Well, we have money. I mean, you know what? The words that come out of our mouth
Day.
are the ones are the things that are gonna manifest in a way. But actually, because like I can confirm, you know, like people go like, "Oh my God, yeah, I want to move to London. I want to move to New York. I want to move to this and that." Blah, blah, blah. Like, guys, why don't you think of investing in Dubai? Because like looking at the market, looking at everything, Dubai is actually blooming. And
It's safe. It's usually sunny. Best shopping, best malls, best infrastructure, except not for the rain. But hey, we don't usually have rain. We don't usually, you know, it's usually very, very sunny. So yeah, absolutely. We just got a funny message when we were talking about, you know, hopefully one day we'll be able to buy $10 million homes. Just got a message from our producer, Ali. Thank you, Ali. He said, one can dream.
what did he say? Sorry.
One can dream.
Oh yeah, one can dream,
You can
Ali. What
dream
can
about it.
you
The
can dream
dream
without
will turn
us?
into a reality, Ali, one
Yeah,
day. Hopefully.
that is true. That is true. For sure, I can hear that.
Right. So this, by the way, is according to a report by property consultancy Knight Frank. Prime residential areas like the Palm Jumeirah, Jumeirah Bay Islands, and Emirates Hills saw prices rise over 26% last year. Q1 this year recorded 105 sales of properties exceeding $10 million. This marked a 19% increase compared to last year, to the same period last year. Transactions on Palm Jumeirah alone constituted slightly over a third of the total sales during the quarter. Yeah, it's mostly the Russians, I suppose. Although now, at least according to Hussein Sajwani from Dabaq, according to him, the Russians and other reports, of course, as well. But he, you know, he always has the insider information, doesn't he? The Russians are kind of moving a little bit to Indonesia, and then the Chinese are coming here. So the Russians are buying a lot in Bali, apparently, which why not? But Dubai's prime residential market has grown by 26.3% in the past 12 months, according to the report. Dubai Hills Estate is also one of the fastest growing prime areas for domestic buyers. So going back to the sales of Dubai homes valued at $10 million or more, it nearly doubled to $7.6 billion. That's how it surpassed London and New York. And of course, Dubai's appeal is in its global connectivity, the strategic location, favorable interest rates, and policies promoting long-term residency, like the Golden Visa, etc. Running out of breath here, Farah, so I'm going to give you the floor now.
I mean,
Your thoughts.
I would understand 100% because, like, of course, if you would want to compare Dubai to London and other cities, when you are investing for a house in Dubai, yes, it for sure is more expensive, But as well, for sure, you do get other amenities with it as well, such as, you know, there's safety that is there like 24/7 of the day, you know, whether you like specifically, by the way, for women and even for men and children and so on, you know, no matter. And there's as well, I would say a lot of like globalization is very prominent in the UAE. Like you can see, like no matter where you're from, no matter what your religion is, you are always respected as if you are a local. You might not be able to be getting the but you are respected and your rights are deserved. So you are not only getting like a house, which is understandable why it would be that expensive for let's say, you know, like when you invest in Dubai, but you are getting a lot of things that fall underneath the just like buying a house. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people do argue that yes, you do get the 10-year golden visa, but what about citizenship? And I think a lot of people, you know, do opt for other places, other countries to get that. But you know what? You know, we I remember I had done a piece with Habib al-Mulla years ago for Arabian Business, and he said, you know, one day the UAE may look at you know, offering some sort of green cards. If not citizenship, it would be a green card.
100%.
So I don't know. I mean, let's see. At the same time, you know, you may not get the citizenship. You know, you could. There's also the argument of retirement. It's not a city that's very suitable for, you know, retirement, especially if you don't have the citizenship. However, you do get the safety. You get a lot of, you know, the location of Dubai is fantastic. A lot of investment opportunities, a lot of work opportunities. So it's pretty exciting. Do you know, Farah, that we work more longer hours here in Dubai than people in New York do? Did
I've
you know
actually
that?
heard that a lot. It was as well, there was a report that I've read. I remember last year that Dubai is the most working city in the world. However, like I feel like, you know, like Dubai is as well the city that, you know, it's beautiful and it even offers you beautiful opportunities. If you work hard, you get what you deserve from your work. Right. So, I mean, I feel like at this point, you know, like Dubai is a very fast-paced moving city. So, and it's beautiful. Why not invest in work? And yeah, it might be the most working city, but it's all going to be worth it because there are a lot of amenities that do come with.
Absolutely. Just don't work hard and play too hard and waste all your money and not save anything like some people do.
They're savvy.
They're stabby for that, yeah. To help you just waste away the money. Oh dear. When if I think about, you know, if I had saved from my first paycheck, how much would I have in my savings? Anyway, let's not get all morbid at the moment. thank you, Farah, for joining us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll see you guys with more updates, more news, more self-deprecating chats tomorrow. Listen to Smashy Business wherever you get your podcasts, or watch us on smashy.tv or YouTube. Thank you, and see you tomorrow.